If you could take your Bibles tonight and turn once again to the book of Jude. We were there 3 weeks ago. We had the missions conference, and last week Colonel Willis was with us. And tonight we're going to focus on the key verse in the book of Jude, verse number 3. Jude, verse number 3, says, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." So we see here that Jude wanted to write unto them of a certain subject. In fact, he's putting great energy into it. It says he gave all diligence. But we see that he plans were changed, and God wanted him to write a particular letter to these believers because of a problem that was in their midst. And I'd like us to see here that, you know, Jude had genuine love and concern for these people. And how was it's we, you know, we see that in verse number 3, he addresses them as beloved. All right, he greatly loved these people that he was addressing. And how did that manifest itself? Well, it says, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you." We see here that, you know, true love changes plans based on the needs of others. You know, Jude had a plan. Jude had a great and earnest desire to write unto them of the common salvation. But there was a greater need that these people had. And Jude was willing to address that need. Obviously, it was God's will. It was God's plan. And the Holy Spirit was behind what he was doing. The Holy Spirit here is the author of this letter, while Jude was used to write it down. But we see here that Jude was giving all diligence. He was putting great effort. This was something that he had great intentions of doing. But there was a greater need in the lives of these believers that Jude said, you know what? This is what needs to be addressed. And obviously it was God that was leading him in that. You know, sometimes we can be set on doing something that's very important. This wasn't something that we're going to talk about a little bit later that was a trivial matter, the common salvation. This was something of vital importance. But there was another issue and need that needed to be addressed in this group of believers. And he was willing to change his plans and write about this pressing need that was in their midst. You know, are we sensitive to the needs of those around us? Are we sensitive to the pressing issues that might be facing? Are we sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit and what he would have us, the needs that need to be addressed in those situations? Secondly, I'd like to see that true love is confronts problems and dangers in the lives of others. He said, "It was needful for me to write unto you." Again, he is addressing them as beloved. These are people that were dear to him. These were people that he genuinely loved and was concerned about. And so what did he do? He's like, you know what? I need to write them about this grave danger that they are facing. And you know, the common salvation was obviously a great theme that he could have addressed. And is a very important theme to be addressed. But there was something that was being attacked. And that was a grave danger that they were facing. What would we have without the faith? There wouldn't be salvation, would there? And so he was willing to address this danger, this great problem that they were facing. You know, this problem that they were facing was going to require some great steps for them to take, because there were people that had secretly crept into their midst. And there were some difficult issues that these believers were going to have to face in order to separate and deal with the apostasy that was happening in their midst. One commentator said, Judah's expression of love was no mere sentimental affection that could remain inactive in the face of the danger confronting his readers. You know, Jude had to act. He cared about these people. And he was going to do something to address the grave danger that they were facing. You know, I wonder, are you willing to stand up and address dangers that those around you are facing? Maybe you have close friends tonight and you see them traveling down a wrong pathway. Are you willing to stand up and earnestly contend for the faith in that situation? But thirdly, I see here, true love carefully pronounces its affection in the face of challenging situations. You know, Jude calls them his what? He calls them beloved. He was willing to express his affection for these people in this situation that they were facing. You know, sometimes when we need to address these issues and problems, people need to understand that we what? That we genuinely care for them. They need to know that they genuinely love us. I was just reading in an education magazine that ACS prints, and the man was talking about his first year of teaching, and there was an eighth grade student that was giving particularly challenges to him. And so, you know, he decided, you know what, I'm going to reach out to this young man and show him that I'm genuinely concerned for him. And so one Saturday morning, he wasn't particularly interested in remote-controlled boats, but this young man had a remote-controlled race boat, or maybe he had more than one. And he spent a few hours on a Saturday morning watching, you know, this young man race his race boats. And the young man said something to him. He says, you know, no one has ever come to watch me race my boats before. My dad buys me my boats, but he has never watched me race them. And that year, that teacher was able to have success with that student, as that student understood the love that that teacher had for him. And, you know, his dad came up to the teacher and asked him, you know, for advice, I think, in building a relationship with his son. And I think the teacher said something like, you know, start by watching him race his boat. You know, he just needed to be willing to what? Show his love, that he really loved his son. And when we have to confront issues and problems, what do we need to do? Well, Jude starts off by saying, what, beloved? You know what? I love you. I'm concerned for you. You know, the reason I'm addressing this is because I truly do love you. And that is how we need to approach these problems that people are facing. Yes, we need to be willing to address them. You know, it's a lot easier just to not say anything. It's a lot easier just to kind of pass over it and gloss over it. But Jude understood the grave danger and the serious nature of the situation that these believers were facing. And if it wasn't dealt with, there was a grave enemy that they were facing, and there would be serious consequences. And because of his great love for him, he was willing to address it. But he was also willing to do what? He was willing to demonstrate. He was willing to tell them of the great love that he had for them. You know, many times when these problems need to be addressed, you know, we need to express that love, that biblical love that we have for those that we are seeking to minister to and see them go forward for God. As we move along, so it says, Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation. What do we see here? He says, I gave all diligence. You know, godly leadership gives wholehearted devotion to the communication of truth. You know, Jude had something that he wanted to communicate to them. Now his plans had to change, but he said, I gave what? Gave all diligence to write unto you. He was fully involved. I mean, he didn't just give diligence, but he gave all diligence. You know, is that the attitude that we have when we are seeking to communicate truth? In this instance, he wanted to communicate to them the truth of the common salvation. Do we take that same attitude and approach to communicating truth? He said, I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation. But then he realized there's a problem. And what does he say? He says, it was need for me to write unto you. Here we go again. He's seeking to what? He's communicating with them. And what? Exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith. So again, we see this devotion that he had to communicating the truth to those that he was ministering to. But then also we, before I move on, you know, there was a, S.M. Davis in one of his messages talked about a man who was in Vietnam. I think there was 8 Americans on a hill that was being attacked by the Viet Cong. And so as they were, you know, being attacked, they were fighting valiantly. They were holding off the enemy. They were hoping they could hold out long enough that they could get, help from the airmen, and the planes would arrive and they could be able to get out of there. But the attack from the enemy was just getting stronger and stronger, and they realized that the air support was not going to be able to get there to rescue them. And it was getting towards nightfall, and the lieutenant had to tell his men that what was going to take place, that they weren't going to make it. And so they had, you know, maybe that night until the morning when the enemy would restart the fighting against them. And this man realized that, you know, he was going to die. He had been married for 3 years. He had received a letter from his wife telling them of the birth of their child, and who was now, I believe, 9 months old. And so, you know, he had never seen his daughter except for one little picture of her, and you know, his wife describing his daughter. And, you know, and anyways, in that moment, he took out one piece of paper, the back of a letter that his wife had written to him. And on that piece of paper wrote a note to his daughter. You know, somebody who he never was able to meet his daughter. But and wrote a note on the back of that paper and just, you know, said a prayer probably that his, you know, daughter would receive that note. Well, one day there came a knock at the wife's door of this man who had died in battle, saying that her husband had died, but he had left this note. And so anyway, she received the note. It was blood stained. There was a bullet hole through the note, and she brought it up to her daughter's bedroom and framed it. And anyways, you know, read the note. And the note, you know, said something to the fact of, Amanda, I love you. Love God and listen to your mother. And don't ever forget or take for granted the incredible price that was paid for your freedom in America. And here's this father that what was taking an opportunity to what? To communicate truth. You know, he didn't even know if that was going to reach his daughter. But he saw it as something important, that he wanted to write something down and communicate it. And you know, godly leadership is going to what? is going to give wholehearted devotion to the communication of truth. You know, fathers, do you do that in your family? You know, you like Jude, I gave all diligence, but then there was another issue that arose and he was going to exhort them. He was going to write them. He took great concern. I mean, if he was going to give all diligence to that fact when this arose, obviously you read through the book of Jude, he was greatly concerned for these people. You know, and do you seek to communicate that truth? Do you see the spiritual needs in your family? And are you willing to step in and communicate that truth, that message that needs to be communicated at that particular point of time? Also, we see here godly leadership moves people in matters of substantial importance. You know, we live in a day and age in which people spend so much time on things that are so trivial. William Jenkins wrote in his commentary on Jude, it says, the custom of the world is to use substantial endeavors about circumstantial, and circumstantial endeavors about substantial employments. The world puts so much emphasis on things that are so trivial. You know, on Sunday, you know, the world puts so much emphasis on things that don't even matter. You know, people's whole week or their whole Monday can be ruined because of, you know, a sports team that lost or something insignificant that took place. But Jude was moved by that which was substantial. And he wrote of things, and obviously he's under the inspiration of the Spirit here that he's writing, of that which is important. And you know, godly leadership is going to move people in matters of substantial importance. And he was going to move them to what? To earnestly contend for the faith. He was exhorting them. This was an urgent message that he had. But we also see that godly leadership moves people to stand for the unchanging truth of God's word. It says, we exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith. Now that earnestly contend is a very powerful word. All right, it was is something that they were to agonize for, but it's even like a strengthened form of agonizing. One commentator wrote, to contend, to exert oneself without distraction to attain a goal. It means self-denial to overcome obstacles, to avoid perils, and if need be, to accept martyrdom. These people were to earnestly contend. They were to put their full effort. They were to agonize. This was something important to stand for. If you don't have the faith, if you don't have the body of truth that here is here delivered, if you don't stand for it, if you lose it, now obviously the Word of God is preserved. But you know, in your family, in your church, you know, if a church compromises, you don't have the truth, what's going to happen? People aren't going to be saved, are they? Because they're not going to have the body of truth that needs to be believed to have salvation. You know, families, children are going to be lost to ungodliness. And so he was moving them to stand for the unchanging truth. It says that was once delivered unto the saints. It was something that once was delivered. It ought to be something that is viewed as a sacred trust. It was delivered in Matthew chapter 25 and verse number 14 talks about the parable there where it says, for the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into far country who called his own servants and what? And delivered unto them his goods. All right, so he's delivering unto them. He's entrusting them to them. All right, it talks about the faith, which was what? Once delivered unto the saints. And we need to view this body of truth as a what? A sacred trust. The Bible talks about the church being the what? The pillar and the ground of the truth. And godly leadership is going to move people to stand for it. We need to view it as a sacred trust. But we also need to see that truth is best handled by holy hands. It says it was once delivered unto the what? Unto the saints. Unto those which are what? Which are holy. You know, the Bible talks about in Matthew, about give not that which is holy, you know, unto the dogs. There are certain truths that certain people are going to what? Trample underfoot. And here even in Jude, it talks about how they speak evil of those things which they know not. And here the Bible says the truth is once delivered unto the saints. And if that truth gets in the wrong hands, it's going to be twisted and it's going to be distorted. And it's going to be used in a fashion that God did not intend. In the end of the book of 2 Peter, it talks about how people were resting. They were twisting. They were distorting the scriptures. We need to understand the disease-like nature of error. 2 Timothy 1, verse 17, it talks about how their word doth eat like a canker. How valuable is the protection of the faith to you? This was something important to Jude. He was writing to them. He was exhorting them to earnestly contend. All right, and it was in the present tense. This is an ongoing battle that believers are in. And there was something taking place that Jude said, this has got to be taken care of. These believers, they need communication. And it's a continuing issue that we are facing in our day and age. In Proverbs 23 and verse number 23, it says to buy the truth and what? And sell it not. Do you understand the value of the truth? And are you willing to stand for it? You know, if you are a godly leader, you're going to what? You're going to move people to stand for the unchanging truth of God's Word. You know, young person, in the circles that you live in, is that what you're doing? You know, ladies in the circle that you are in, your circle of friends, is that what you're doing? Are you moving people to stand for the truth? How are you using your life to influence, to provide leadership? Fathers, are you moving your family to stand for the faith? Do you view the faith as a sacred trust that has been delivered? And God wants us to protect it, to cherish it, to see the dangers of those that would seek to destroy it. What is your attitude towards the faith tonight? You know, in Proverbs chapter 22, it talks about remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set. Here in this one verse of Jude, we see some very important truths that we need to grab a hold of in our lives. Real love is going to motivate us to address the dangers around us. Real love will express itself so that those problems can be more easily changed and accepted, the truths accepted by those that we are ministering to. But godly leadership is going to move people in a particular direction. And that direction is the upholding of the truth of God's Word. You know, I wonder tonight, Each one of us needs to seriously ask ourselves the question, what are we doing to earnestly contend for the faith? You know, do you just kind of come to church, hear the message, and leave? Or when you hear those truths, is it something that you say, you know what, I want to stand for that? And obviously, one way we contend for the faith is giving out the gospel. You bring people from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. That's contending for the faith. But there's other ways that we can contend for the faith. And we need to see the truth as a sacred trust. And we need to put forth energy to stand for that truth. And to see it strengthened in the sphere of influence that God has given to us. Let's bow in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just pray that you would help us, Lord, to stand for truth. Lord, in a day and age in which truth is being attacked in a great and powerful way. And Lord, I pray that in this church, Lord, we would be willing to stand for truth. Lord, if we don't stand for truth in this place, how can we expect others outside of here to stand for truth? And Lord, we just pray tonight, Lord, I just pray you would be with fathers tonight. Lord, that they would see the importance of the dangers, Lord, that their families are facing. And that they would be aware of those dangers. And Lord, that they would be moved to do something about them. And Lord, it is only by your grace that we can stand. And so we ask for your help. Lord, I pray for young people tonight. Lord, that they would realize that this is their duty. Lord, it is a constant duty that every believer has been entrusted with. And that is to earnestly contend. Lord, it is an active thing. And Lord, I pray that if we have been sitting by the sidelines, allowing the faith to be trampled over, Lord, tonight you would work in our hearts that we would be willing to stand up for righteousness and that you would be honored and glorified through it. We pray in Christ's name.